Hello, and welcome to the Comic Book Rundown, the podcast that talks about comic book story arcs. I'm your host, Joe, and I'm going to start out this episode with what we normally do at the beginning of the episode. I found out that when you have a preteen in the house, they tend to be loud, but we tend to record away from them. When you have three preteens in the house, doesn't matter where you record, they're loud. So there was good chunks of audio in this whole story arc that I cut out because the kids were being loud. It happens. It's a learning opportunity. I recorded this story arc with Ron again, and we'll just go ahead and get right into it. The one we are doing today is the New Teen Titans, Terra Incognito. It was published in 1983 in the New Teen Titans issues 28 through 34 and the New Teen Titans Annual number 2. The writer for the story is Marv Wolfman. The penciler is George Perez. The inks were done by Romeo Tangle and Pablo Marcos. The colors were done by Adrian Roy. And the lettering was done by John Costanza, Ben Oda, and Todd Klein. That is it for the beginning. Please enjoy the episode.
I'm excited. I actually got to read the whole story arc this time before we started this podcast. So.
Hey, you did pretty good with Flash. So
I read it while we were going.
So first thing, right when we open up,
prologue from New Teen Titans number 26. And it's just, basically it's just a couple pages out of it showing where Beast Boy and Terra meet for the first time. And then she, basically blasts herself out of volcano and away from him.
Well, because, her powers are Earth-based, so.
I was wondering, when I read this, I was wondering why it jumped from that to her, robbing a bank. It makes more sense, after you told me that it was a,
prologue.
Figured out it was prologue, yeah. Because, or prelogue.
Prelude. Prologue.
Prologue. Whatever. Anyways.
Anywho's. So we start out with, like you said, Terra robbing a bank.
Terra in the night.
And the changeling, not Beast Boy. You gotta make sure.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The changeling.
He had apparently even commented.
Let's just call him Garfield.
Issue. Gar works too. But he's trying to get away from the Beast Boy persona. That was when he was on the Doom Patrol. And then Doom Patrol was killed. And he's like, nope, I can't remember this. Let's go with changeling. And so he's the changeling in this one. What I really like is very first page, you have the writers making fun of Gar, saying that he won't be able to actually capture Terra.
Well, I mean, in, their defense, Changeling.
You can say Beast Boy.
Yeah, we're going to call him Beast Boy for this.
You can call him Beast Boy. I'll call him Changeling. Or Gar.
I was talking about us.
Okay.
But, I mean, don't get me wrong. Awesome powers. Greatest part of a team. But by yourself against somebody that's got, powers above your level.
Yeah, he can only, his name Beast Boy because he can only turn into animals.
Yeah.
So,
and
going up against somebody that can shape and move mountains.
Yeah.
Yeah. Literally move mountains.
But look, I'm a badger. Anyways.
I also want to comment on Terra's costume in this. It's very, a combination of Black Bolt and Galactus.
Okay, I was thinking the Galactus on the head, yes.
Because, well, I noticed the Black Bolt today
whatever
you want to call it, the antler things.
The little golden thing on the front of her head.
Yeah. Like, this, I've never known her in this costume. This was new to me.
Yeah, and then later on it says, I've got two costumes, let me change into the other one.
And that's the one that, everybody knows. That's
and actually, if you look at her from the neck down, she could totally be Chitara from the Thundercats.
Okay, that's fair. So, three costumes in one.
With our powers combined.
Yeah. Well, we don't want to get copywritten here.
Oh.
So Terra is robbing a bank because she has to pay off some terrorists to try and save her parents. Gar is like, well, hey, we can help you. We're Teen Titans. We're heroes. We will help you here. Just let us help. And Terra's like, no, screw you. Yeah, I don't need
your help. I got to do this on my own.
Yeah,
blah,
basically
blah, blah.
typical fashion of Lone Ranger, whatever you want to call it.
And then, of course, she plays the hardcore girl card of pretending she's stunned right here at the end of their fight. And when Changeling goes in there to, you know, oh, are you okay? She socks him and then runs laughs off. At him. Yeah. Ha ha, oldest trick in the book.
But she does get away, and, you know, Garfield goes, I believe he's, well, it does say that he's kind of in love, because some of the dialogue, he's definitely flirting with her.
He's
like, throwing, hardcore.
He's throwing out the cheesy pickup lines, and, like, the whole time they're fighting, like, hey, sweetie, you know, blah, 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 this and that. And
yeah.
It's, I mean, it is, it. I see, I don't even know, would it have been cheesy in this time, too? Because I feel like it would have.
Yeah.
Because he definitely
it's cheesy anytime.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't come off in any way, you know, Rico Suave.
No. Yeah. But I mean, like, even when she showed up in the cartoon originally,
oh yeah,
Garfield was infatuated with her.
Oh yeah.
So, and I mean, yeah. It's. I know I like a comment that Speedy makes at some point throughout the, in the book that, you know, she's 16 and I don't touch anybody under the age. Which I also want to bring up. I guess it's a good time to bring up. Talk about the age looking proper. Why do they all look like they were 20?
See, that was something I had wondered too. Because like, especially like Starfire.
Well, she is an alien.
Regardless. Dude, if there would have been 16-year-olds in my school that had that going on.
Dude, there were 16-year-olds in our school that had that going on.
Fair enough. And I remember drooling all over the place. Mm-hmm.
So continuing on with the book. Next we see...
The Cathedral of Death.
In the city or the island of Zadania,
hold on a second. Let's...
Zandia, Zadania,
yeah, Zandia.
Zandia sounds right.
Yeah,
which apparently is the home of Brother Blood. I would say he's a long time villain, but at this point he's only been around for a little bit, and he is just trying to. Move off of the island. He's trying to expand his control, his church, because he is the it's a cult.
Yeah,
like he's the
leader. He's
of the
leader,
cult.
Founder, and you know the how does it go? And I've also been a you know member for
yeah. Well, he's been a member his whole life. So as we focus on them, a lot of the patrons.
I'd call them
worshippers.
Yeah,
worshippers sounds better.
Slaves. I don't know what. Followers. Let's call
there we
them
go.
Followers.
That's. I knew we'd work there eventually. The followers start to see their fears come to life,
like hallucinating, pretty much.
And it is revealed that the Brotherhood of Evil is on the island trying to destroy them. And the Brotherhood at this point in time consists of Warp, Phobia, Plasmus, and Houndgun. Editor's note, Monsieur Mala and the Brain were also part of the Brotherhood of Evil. They just did not show up in this first issue. They show up later on. So, didn't want to get any mail from anybody saying that I forgot about them. They're here, they're just not here at the moment. Alright, back to the episode. Houndgun, this guy I've never heard of.
Okay, I would say, because when he popped up, like, it was kind of like, that's
yeah,
a little odd.
Like, I recognize the other three.
Yes.
Took me a minute to remember Phobia's name, but I recognized the other three. No idea who Houndgun was, and also didn't know that Plasmus was German. That was new to me.
And the way they write the French and German in the book,
it's pretty bad.
But it's definitely stereotypical. And... Oh, so cheesy.
Yeah. But so the Brotherhood is there. They're trying to take control of the island. They're trying to take power away from Brother Blood. And so they basically decimate all of his followers in this one area.
At one of their churches, I think is what they called it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. We go from Plasmus... Literally melting a guy.
To Donna in the shower.
Donna in the shower.
Yeah.
Donna Troy is taking a shower. Starfire is standing there. It's just like, okay.
And actually, if you look at this panel, Starfire is totally checking out the goods.
Well, you know.
I couldn't blame her. I'm just saying that, you know.
I mean, she's new to the culture. She's got
right on.
Anyway. But they're discussing...
their boy problems, basically.
Yeah, I was going to say teen angst.
But
again,
see,
this is the questioning of the teen
angst, because well, I mean, Donna is See, it, we don't know
this
how
is the
old.
Thing. They never actually say the age, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
But I know that she is dating a professor in college.
And the professor's supposed to be like in his, what, 40s is what it seems like to me?
I'm assuming late, early 30s.
You think? Well, yeah. And it doesn't really say, though. I mean,
yeah, again,
but then, right. But then, you know, his ex, well, soon-to-be ex-wife is all like, you know, let's say dating somebody that young.
Yeah, well, and that's...
That's later on, though.
Yeah. I mean, but it gets to the point of, you know, everybody's in... This is like their college age.
Yeah.
So they're 18, 19, 20, 21, like, only because they make comments about how both Dick Grayson and Wally are in college and they're having trouble balancing...
Their here life with their real life with, well, Dick with everything.
Everything. Circus, Batman.
I would
Batman,
just like to point out that in case you've never seen Rocky... He looks like Rocky Balboa after he's gotten the shit kicked out of him in that picture.
That's fair.
He's got two different shaped eyes.
That's fair.
His face looks swollen.
But so Dick shows up to because him and Starfire, are dating.
He shows up to Donna and Corey's apartment.
Mm-hmm, and they're going to go out, but Corey's like, no, let's just stay in.
I would just like to point out that as far as this goes, Dick is a dick in these comics.
Oh, yeah. I actually have it written down. Dick being a dick the whole time. And then I think even later on, Dick still being a dick. Like, he is just so, like, short with everybody.
And he's so focused on himself that he doesn't even... Everybody else around him is just, like, this secondary thing. It's like, yeah, I know that I'm supposed to be, you know, guy who's just leader and I'm supposed to be your boyfriend, but...
It's like, I have to take care of this this is more important right here.
Yeah, I'd rather just ignore you guys, do my own thing. Looks like he banged Starfire. And,
which I was going to point out one of the things I said earlier. You see how they're, you know, in the loving embrace. If you notice the thing on the little statue on the table.
Holy balls, no, I did not notice
well,
that.
Now you did.
That's that's a definite Greek statuesque sort of thing right there.
Well, it does work out since, you know, Donna Troy is an Amazon.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Ish.
Well, they haven't gotten to that yet. That'll be another storyline down the line.
Regardless.
Yep.
All right. So then we bounce from there to Tara throwing, it looks like, four, I don't know if they're guards or zookeepers, because it looks like she's at the zoo.
Well, they're zookeepers, I think, with guns.
Because... Wait, no, these are cops.
Are those cops?
I think those are cops, because if you look, the zookeepers are in green.
True. Okay, so those are cops.
So we're good. She's throwing four cops in the air. Trashing them, they're shooting at her.
Yeah, I will point out that the one does take a shot and it's just going wherever.
I actually think if you really look, you probably clip either an animal or a bystander.
More likely.
But they don't show that part. And then you got Beast Boy as a bobcat, it looks like.
I think so, at first.
Yeah.
And then the lions get out, so he has to go stop the lions from attacking everybody.
So he turns into an elephant.
Yeah, and then from there he's chasing after Tara again to stop her, and finally does, eventually.
As a huge bird.
And I like how he drops the money on the ground, and he's like, don't any of you guys take any of this.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to come after you.
And they're like, of course we are, as they're stuffing
it. It's like, it's that Beast Boy guy, and that's where he makes comments like, I paid $1 million of my dad's money
to hire
get
a
my name
to glitz up my name.
Which is great, because he does eventually go back to Beast Boy.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, come on. Beast Boy is way better than Changeling.
It actually tells what he's doing. I mean,
exactly.
It's perfect for his name. So then we have, we go back to Corey and Dick.
We have a topless Dick here, and Corey in just a robe by the looks of it.
Which is, you know, for that time, it's what she was known for. And actually, they play up her sex appeal a lot.
Dude, and they make her act like they make her out like she's an idiot.
Well, and she even says many times, like,
I'm
not an idiot.
I'm not stupid, I just don't understand your culture.
Exactly.
Yeah, and...
But I'm just referring, like, not only do they play up her sex appeal in the Teen Titans books, but even later on.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean...
In, like, nowadays.
But they always have, I mean, if you really think about it. Like, as far as, you know, female characters go, that's kind of a standard.
Yeah, which is bad. So I think right at this time I have the Dick being a dick because he's
okay. Like, but obviously they've, you know, done some you know something here, coupling of some sort,
extracurricular activities.
Yeah. And like afterwards, you know, he got basically it's like he got what he wants, and then he's like, look, I just need you to leave me the fuck alone.
I never thought of it that way.
But I mean, it really is. Like,
no, you're right.
Like,
because they have, he makes the comment something about I just want to be left alone. This is sometimes
I just need to do me right now after I got done doing you. You know. that sort of thing. And then she's just like, I don't understand, you know, from my world, you know, when you're in love with somebody, that person is your life.
Yeah.
You know, you give your, or you base your life on them, they base their life on you, and that's how you, you know, make it work. That's
just how you are.
And like, he's like, yeah, that's cool, but I got things later.
Well, he doesn't say later, because he's still there. But, you know.
Well,
here's one thing I didn't realize. I never knew that Wally West and Raven had a thing.
See, I didn't know that either. Yeah. And that was something intriguing. Because it doesn't, I mean,
I never looked at it that way. Again, this is the first time reading this book for me.
Same here.
I've had the book for a while, just haven't got around to reading it. And around this time, and I don't know if this was happened at some other point in time in the earlier issues, but Wally's questioning being Kid Flash. He is.
That's in this one right here.
Well, no. Yes, but I didn't know if there was other times before this.
Oh, okay.
Like, he says he's having trouble juggling you know, his life as Kid Flash and school, and he wants to know what his status is with Raven, and she's like, I can't really, I love you. Well, Wally's like, I love you, but, and Raven's like, oh, I can't love you.
I enjoy spending time with you, but
I can't get emotional. If I get emotional, everything will be screwed up.
Because she can't keep control of.
Yeah, and he's not liking that. He's kind of like, but, what? I mean, come on, like, just tell me you love me. That's all I want. So then they get they hear Gar yelling for some help. He has brought back Terra to the tower. So Kid Flash and Raven pop up over there, see what's going on. Terra kind of starts freaking out.
Well, Terra freaks out when Raven is getting ready to heal her because she's been hurt, because she knows how Raven's powers work. Because Raven has the
I didn't put that one together. The empathy.
Empathy, there we go. Yeah. And so she'd know, you know, what she was feeling and, you know, could surmise, you know,
other everything things. Everything is going on.
So obviously Terra was, you know,
hint.
We're not wanting to you know, have Raven inside of her feelings like that. So she freaks out, gets away from her.
Well, they don't get very far.
Well, yeah, but...
Because as she's trying to run, Wally does this thing with his hand to basically cycle the air away from her, and she goes running into Cyborg.
I'd like to point out Cyborg's outfit at this time, because I've actually never seen one of the older versions of this.
Oh, yeah, dude.
he basically looks like your typical weightlifter, like, leotard sort of thing, and then he's, like, half Cyborg.
I remember seeing his outfit like that, mainly during Crisis on Infinite Earths, and I'm just like, okay, I like the Cyborg we have nowadays.
Yeah, absolutely. It's
very more modern, and I enjoy that.
Not to mention that this one doesn't, like, it doesn't so much give off the Cyborg thing as it's so much, like, he basically, like I said, he looks like a bodybuilder that, you know, went with the metallic, you know, boots and gloves instead of, you know, the, it's silly. I think it looks silly anyways.
It's very 80s.
Oh, and on top of that, the headband, you know, him, Luke Cage, you know, I mean, they always had that little, like, fur strap. I don't know what the hell you call that. But anyways, getting on to that.
So we, Terra starts freaking out, starts to fight a little more, but they are able to actually convince her that, hey, we are here to help. Let us help you. And she's like, these terrorists have taken my parents.
Takes off her mask so they can see who she is.
I was going to point out the buck teeth, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
But I think that's... Oh, no, I guess that is in all the pictures, isn't it?
Yeah. It kind of is. Now we're back to Donna, and she's going to her boyfriend, Terry Long, and as she comes in, because she has a key, Terry's ex-wife is there.
Well, soon-to-be ex-wife.
I mean, he's trying to divorce her, and she is just...
They're both actually kind of assholes in the...
the way they're acting is just like,
it's your typical, you know, angry divorcee.
Yeah, so they're both kind of jabbing at each other and just... needless to say, Donna kind of doesn't really storm off, but leaves not really
sure of what's going on.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that works better.
I mean, that's what it seemed like to me anyways, because, like, you know, he's in there, he's got his wife in there, his daughter's in there, and then his daughter's like, this is Donna, or asks who Donna is, and Terry's like, oh, this is Donna, she's my, and then his ex-wife's like, that's Daddy's friend,
mm-hmm.
And then she's like, oh, I'll... And then Donna's like, I'm just going to be leaving and I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah. And then we go over to the Titans helping out Tara. Apparently there was a drop-off point that Tara was supposed to get to with the money that she stole to these terrorists. The Titans are there to stop them. Raven is trying to get the information out of the guys. None of them know what's going on. The one guy, the supposed leader, states that her parents are dead. Forgot at this point, it's a good time to mention that Tara, her dad, was the king of Markovia.
Yes.
And her stepmom would have been the queen. And so it was basically, it was a ransom thing. So the fact that these terrorists say that her parents are dead, she goes, she's like, you're lying, I don't believe you. And her emotions get the better of her to the point where she is just about ready to crush the terrorist in a giant fist of earth. And everybody's like, whoa, I didn't know she was that powerful. This is crazy.
And then Gar stops her from actually killing them.
Mm-hmm.
Tells her that, you know, she doesn't want to do it, that she's just, you know, feeling herself out too much right here. And she gives him a hug and, oh, it's so cute.
Everything's better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can do so on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with the next chapter of Terra Incognita.